Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hunt.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Hines, and thank you for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I want to thank our very special guest today. Her name is Debbie Chantil, and she's a BOBSA member with a very special story. So we want you to stay tuned for that. It's coming up. And also want to take a moment to recognize the importance of our sponsors. We want to say thank you to them, folks like SalonInteriors.com. If you're interested in upgrading the furniture in your salon, these are the folks to speak with. Also, MyHairCareRx.com. That's where Dr. Peck is, and she specializes in hair that's thinning, and she has a great restorative system, so please reach out to her. Again, that's Dr. Peck and MyHairCareRx.com. We also want to thank New York Show Hair. That's NYSHOHAIR. They are the folks with real grow your hair out of your scalp kind of hair that's available for purchase. And we shout out to Celeste and her team. Also, in Brooklyn, Shakora R. Bay. You've seen her work. She's also a skilled doll maker, in addition to being a natural hair artist. You've got to see her again, Shakora R. Bay. And also the folks at SuperTurkey.com. Those are the deep fried nationwide turkey leaders. They will be putting together some special items for us for the holidays. So definitely stay with us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. There's a lot more to come. Stay with us.
Good morning, good morning. This is Purple Barbie with your morning workout routine brought to you by Hair Radio. And before you start any routine, make sure you check with your physician to make sure you can handle it. We're going to start our 2 minutes today with a stretch. So bend over, touch your toes, and get in that twerk position. Can't touch your toes, go as far as you can. But remember, say good morning to whoever's behind you. Hold that stretch. Release it, bring yourself to a standing position, rolling that spine and shoulders back, both arms straight out to the side, and turn to the left. Hold that stretch. Release it and turn to the right. Do the same thing and hold that stretch. Release it and march in place. Our routine today is going to be a series of steps. We're stepping forward 3 or 4 times and stepping backward the same amount of times. Then we're going to step left to right. Then we're going to do a squat tap. Squat taps, you're going to get in that squat position. Looks like you're about to sit down, but you're going to stay there this time. You're going to step that foot out left to right. And then you're going to be done. And march in place, and we'll start.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very special guest from the business sector today. His name is Butch Wing. Now, he's a part of a very, very big upcoming event. So we're going to, number one, I just welcome you to the Hair Radio Show, Butch.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, and I'm quite excited. I want you to tell everybody, first of all, this is Reverend Jackson's 18th annual Rainbow Push Wall Street Project Economic Summit. So it's coming up, from like between January 13th and the 15th of 2015. But we want you to tell us about this upcoming project and how you are associated.
Well, the Wall Street Economic Summit really addresses the issues of economic empowerment, business development, and civil rights. This year, there's a big focus on technology, which Reverend Jackson has identified as this era's civil rights imperative. blacks and Latinos, for the most part, have been locked out of the technology revolution. And if this is allowed to persist, many will be left behind in this next era. The income inequality gap, as we know, is growing. Wealth in our communities is declining. So participation, full participation in the technology industry is an imperative so that we can advance and take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that exist in the technology industry going forward.
Okay, now, and thank you for that. So just introducing us to the Silicon Valley, because a lot of our listeners out there, this is the first that they're really probably kind of making a connection of all the dots, you know, in terms of economic empowerment.
Well, Silicon Valley is the home of Facebook. It's the home of Google. Mm-hmm. It's the home of Yahoo. It's the home of all of the household names that we are becoming so familiar with. But technology is also merging with the telecommunications industry and the entertainment industry. So you're going to see names like Disney and Verizon, Google and Facebook pop up in the same conversation. These industries are merging. They're so much part of our daily lives. Everyone has a smartphone. Everyone's mm-hmm. on Twitter. Everybody's using Facebook. But we're over-indexing as users and consumers. We're under-indexing in the boardrooms and the C-suites and in the workforce. We're under-indexing in access to capital. You don't see too many black and Latino tech entrepreneurs getting startup funding from the big venture capital firms. You very rarely see African-Americans or Latinos in the boardrooms. We did a study that showed just 0 to 3% of the tech workforce in companies that we surveyed, about 25 of them, are black and Latino. So as the technology revolution advances going forward, there's a tremendous danger that black and Latino communities and people will be left behind. We really can't let that happen.
And that's what this will be addressing. Now, let's talk about this upcoming event, if you will. It's a wonderful economic summit. And just tell us a little bit more about it, and what are you hoping the folks gain from it?
Well, we're going to bring some of the major corporate leaders to Wall Street in New York to address partnerships with communities. So, for example, Steve Ballmer, former CEO of Microsoft, will be speaking. Brian Krzanich, the CEO of Intel, will be speaking. Black Enterprise is doing a major luncheon, which they'll be speaking about the top 50 diverse companies in America. We're having workshops on access to capital. We're honoring Van Jones from Yes We Code and doing a big reception with New York Tech Meetup and Silicon Harlem. So there's a variety of workshops, plenary sessions, and networking that'll be going on January 13 through 15 here in New York.
Is there a place where the fans of our show can find out more about this online?
Yes, go to www.rainbowpush.org. Again, that's www.rainbowpush.org. And click the button that'll take you to the Rainbow Push Wall Street Summit. And if you want to go to that site directly, you can go to Rainbow Push Wall Street Project. That's all one word, Rainbow Push Wall Street Project, all one word, .org. And it's a can't-miss economic summit. Everything that you'll need to know about participating in business, the civil rights imperatives of this era, engaging with technology, all that will be in one place at the 18th annual.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very special guest all the way from Israel. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Devorah Shaltiel-Mixon. Devorah, good morning and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Mr. Carey. How are you? It's nice to be here.
Yes, it is great to have you. And we're going to call you Debbie. How's that?
That would be fantastic.
All right. Well, Debbie, first of all, and officially welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And now you are all the way in Israel. And the reason that we wanted to invite you to our broadcast today, there are several different reasons, but we want to talk, being the fact that you're a BOPSA member, and again, BOPSA, for those, is the wonderful supply organization, you know, it's headed up by Sam Enon out in California. And we're so excited, also being BOPSA members here in the Hair Radio Show. But you are running an Afro-Israel beauty supply store. You've got to tell us about this. Now, tell us about this. How did this come about? And what's the name of the supply store?
Well, Terry, the name of the store is Afro-Israeli Beauty Supply. And it came about from an experience I had when I first came to Israel. Upon my arrival, just staying in the community, actually a black community, the Ethiopian Jewish community, I found that there was a lack of hair care products. And it's kind of funny when you are in a strange country or a country that you're not familiar with, the language you're not familiar with, and also the culture is pretty different, to have a situation where your hair is an issue. And I was pretty distressed about it, and, you know, I didn't want to complain too much. So I began to talk to people and ask, okay, where do you get your hair care products? I spoke with my host family, and they explained that, you know, most of the time people bring them from the States, talking about the hair care products, and pretty much, you know, what they had was limited. And I was like, wow, but we need to do our hair. So with that came the idea of, you know, just hoping one day I would get an opportunity to actually have a beauty supply store here that would help the community, not only myself, but just to provide for the needs, the healthcare needs. And I ran into many things. I ran into even men or young men who were dealing with hair problems, hair issues like lice, you know, just things that we never really took into consideration or was never in our community. I mean, not too many times you would hear in our community, in the Black American community, that there is, we have head lice. So after doing some studying and understanding that it had to do with moisture, pretty much, and not having enough moisture or enough grease or something that was missing from my hair that would make it really dry. So this was the start.
So what about, like, oils? Did they have any oils or anything like that?
The oils back then, this was like maybe 2005 when I first arrived, and they did not have oil at that point,
wow.
Even in the major store.
I can't even imagine going like a day or two without some moisture in my hair. I can't even imagine that. Wow.
Exactly, and that created many of the hair problems. You know, I've never heard of an African person or African American person with lice. I mean, you know, you hear about it, but you don't, you know, it's not next door, so to speak.
Right. That's right. It's not so often. You've got my attention with that, too. I'm sure the listeners out there feel the same way. It's unusual in our community. Like, we don't hear, you know, we see it on, we know about it real well, but from the folks usually on the commercials, and it's usually folks not in our community. Very interesting.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Well, you know what? We've got to tell everybody. Now, how did you end up, make your way to Israel? Let's put it that way. And why don't we start there? Tell us, how did you make your way to Israel?
Well, my story is pretty much a personal, both spiritual and a physical journey. And it started with just as a young child, I found out that I was adopted when my parents told me that I was adopted. And that kind of promoted a desire in me to find my birth parents. Not that I didn't appreciate my adopted family, but what was happening around me and what was happening in my life contributed to much of my desire to find my birth family. One being that I had an eye problem that no one in my family had. And it was a very serious problem, and it would cause blindness later on in life. That pretty much, kept me going and kept me interested and determined to find my birth parents, because I needed to know what was going on with my health, what was going on with my eyes. One day, will I be blind? And so, to make a long story short, I petitioned the court to break seal of adoption. And a little while later, I was reunited with my birth family. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to connect with my mom because my birth mom had already passed away. But I'm so thankful that I met my brother and I met my sister and many of my cousins from my birth family. And at that point, I had become like a family genealogist. This was my hobby. It took form of a hobby. And it was really enlightening, very emotional, very touching. It was a very serious road to go down when it discovering family lineage and birth families. And what happened was I had discovered what eventually led to the reason behind the issue with my eyes. I found out that I had Jewish ancestry. One of my grandparents was from Russia, and I inherited some genetic dispositions from the family. I later did DNA testing, and it was found that I also inherited a Spanish Jewish descent, and I found an uncle that lived with blindness. So I found that it ran in the family. And that was pretty much how it started my interest in Israel. And that was returning back to my heritage and, just understanding who my family was and, how did I get here. And it didn't mean that I didn't love or appreciate my adopted family. Mm-hmm. It was just something that's inside that wants to take you back to your roots, not to change you, not to rearrange you or do anything, serious, but to learn about who you are. Helped me.
Well, that's a good point to jump on in. So did that connection, discovering, your actual, your family, your family in Israel, how has that connection been for everybody? What was that like? I mean, that's really big.
Yes, it is. It wasn't easy. at first because, of course, you know, the adopted family, my adopted family, you know, they felt a little betrayal. And at the same time, my birth family was welcoming me with open arms, but they had to deal with the situation also. What I learned was that when you belong to two families like this, it doesn't mean that you love one any less than the other. Actually, I had a greater appreciation that I had two families.
Instead of just
one. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And that I can connect with both of them. That was the blessing in all of this. I didn't have to throw away one in order to keep another or anything like that. So it was very difficult. And eventually my family, especially my children, they began to see that this was serious. Mom is in Israel. She's not coming back.
Wow. And that was in about in and around 2004. When you decided to really move there. And now what part of Israel are you in? And tell us about that, you know, that part of the process when you first arrived and what you were, you know, the task at hand, because this is a very interesting story.
Well, in 2004, I arrived in, to a community that was very welcoming. It was the Ethiopian Jewish community. And I don't know, I felt an affinity with this particular community. And I was welcomed into the community. And though I didn't know the language, though I didn't know the culture, you know, they held me close to them, and they treated me like their own. And it was just something that was, you could never describe. You know, you could never describe how, you know, someone would just, you know, a group of people would just come around you and just hold you and take care of you. And that's what they did.
Wow.
And even through my culture shock, because when you come into a new country and you're kind of adjusting yourself, the only thing that you have is your experience. What is my experience in America? Well, this isn't America. So it took a lot, you know, of changes. It took a lot of introspection, and it took a lot of humility, you know, to accept another culture, another language, another people that you don't know. But yet there's an affinity.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. And I have to say, just to kind of bring people along, folks out there, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we're on the line with Debbie Shaltiel Mixon. Now, she's on the line live all the way from Israel. So this is really just amazing. Now, are you near Tel Aviv and all of that?
I am. Currently residing in Ashkelon. Ashkelon is a city where Samson and Delilah, and for those of you who are Bible students and who are familiar with the book of Judges, Samson was the judge here. And these events took place here in Ashkelon, where I live. I am very close to the Mediterranean Sea. And this is actually the place where Delilah and Samson, the story has taken place.
Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, again, you are a member of BOPSA, and we're so excited to have you with us on today's broadcast. Now, I want to jump into the area of the beauty supply store that you have there. And you talked a little bit about the very much the need for that supply store. And it could have actually been before we got on the line, but, you know, just remind everybody why there was such a need to have a supply store that catered to folks of color.
Well, one of the reasons is because Israel is a very new country. It's a baby compared to many of the other countries, especially America. While America is more than 300 or 400 years old, you have Israel, who is not even 100 yet. So you have people from the Middle East here, North Africa, Egypt, and yes, they are African, and many of them are of African descent as well. However, Israel is mostly European. Many Europeans have arrived here and settled here. So the problem with the people of color and the need for hair care is mostly due to just lack of knowledge. When you live in Europe, unless you live in a community where there's people of color, you really have no need to purchase, or you have no need to frequent aisles that have hair care products for persons of color. But here in Israel, because we're so small, you can't get around it. You have to be able to help this community and assist this community with their health care products, because it's not a lot. It's not a lot for people to. First of all, I'll give you an example. Egypt, North Africa. You have other places in Africa. I'm just talking about the settlers, people who have settled here, who have moved here. I'm not talking about the migrants yet, but in this case, you have the population, and the population who have settled here. And where are they going to get these products? You know, who can provide these products for them? So that's an issue. Then you have the migrants.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Debbie. I was just going to ask you, so you decided to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you made that decision to do so, how did you begin to create the products or to kind of pull them together to rectify this or to, you know, alleviate the situation?
Well, it would only be a few years later, after living in the community and understanding the need, and just getting an idea of exactly what the people are needing. And sometimes that's what it takes. When you come into a community, you can now see the products that they're using. You can talk to them, and they will tell you which products that they have been using, what they can afford to use. And my desire was to at least provide products that were of quality but affordable, because a lot of times when you have a market like this that is not being, you know, the needs that are not being met, there's room for exploitation.
Wow.
And I found a little bit of that as well. So
now your,
that
yes,
was my dream.
That was, wow,
that was my
amazing
dream.
Now your supply shop, again, is called Afro Israeli Beauty Supply.
Yes.
which is absolutely amazing. But now, you mentioned that there weren't a whole bunch of folks of color. So is that enough? Are you, you know, is it enough for folks to support the supply store?
Well, there is actually, there are plenty of people of African descent. And the reason why I say that is because you have people from North Africa. You have people from Egypt. And then you have the migrants. The migrants, they are working here, and many of them are from many parts of Africa, especially West Africa. You have Ghanaians, you have Liberians, you have Kenyans, oh, that's East Africa. I'll get over in that. I'll get over to East Africa in a few minutes. But
okay.
Nigeria, you have Liberia, you have Ghana, you have.
Well, that should be
of
plenty. Yeah. That, okay. I definitely have to say that. That's a lot of people. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So West Africa is well represented here. Quite a step, but they are mostly people who are working here, and you have also people who are traveling, tourism. So there is a presence here.
Okay,
like
I love
that.
It. Absolutely. So I'm going to turn that question around. So what have you found with the success of this wonderful supply business in Israel for people of color? What have you found, or what have you discovered about all of this, or this process?
What I discovered is that the appreciation and the desire for hair care. We have African Americans or Jews of color. Okay, we have Jews of color. And what happens is because the religious community wears, like, scarves most of the time, because, you know, Israel is a desert.
Right.
So the members of the religious community, they wear scarves. And in the process of wearing these scarves, the women that I've spoken with have asked, well, how, you know, my hair is breaking off and I'm having trouble, you know, what do I do? And the choices aren't many. You know, we don't have oils and we don't have many things, although there are beauty supply stores here. However, the products are limited. And natural products that will health hair care, and, you know, there's a need for the people to understand how to care for their hair, not just to wrap their hair and go, but they care about their hair. You know, Carrie, they although their hair is wrapped, they want to make sure their hair is healthy. So this has been one of the real motivations behind the business of hair care for me, starting the business here. Because I see the women, they want their hair healthy. You know, they want to, it's important.
Sure, because
so
their hair is,
with,
you know, it's a part of them, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And though it's wrapped, and though they have it wrapped day and night, and but they, you know, this is part of them, like you were saying. They still want healthy hair. When their hair starts to fall out, they want to know why. They want to understand what can they do.
Wow.
You know, my hair is breaking. We have issues of alopecia, you know. So we need to educate people. You know, one of the things that I'm troubled by is that when the hair weaves, you know, especially in the migrant community, those who are, you know, not, are working here, but not really, you know, citizens here. What troubles me is that they're buying products, and they don't know how to take care of them. You know, they don't know what to do. And we, you know, hair care is also about hair health. It's not just about selling products.
That's right. I have to say, and also as you were just describing this, I was just thinking, it's a lot, and folks don't just know, even if they have access to products, how to use those products and how to apply them and so forth. There's a whole education that we probably yeah. take for granted a lot of that here in the States. This is really a very much needed and important part. This is great what you're doing. You just have to put it that way. So, folks, again, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we're so excited to have with us Debbie Shaltiel Mixon, and she is the proprietor of Afro-Israeli Beauty Supply Store, which is located in Israel. And she's on the line with us all the way from Israel, as she tells us on kind of, you know, giving us a good understanding of what's actually happening there and how her shop has opened up and has, answered the call for folks who are desiring to have good hair care in their area. So we are really excited to have you with us. Something we didn't even know about. And that you because of your circumstances, kind of led you to this opportunity, this business opportunity.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I love this. So what we're going to do, and we're going to have to stay in touch with you, and I'll tell you why. Because I am looking to come out there as well to Israel and help educate folks and some of the salons and all of that wonderful good stuff on some of the things that we do here in the United States and how they can, be more connected in that way to the industry. I think it's fantastic. So we want to say thank you.
That would be awesome.
Would that not be great? Now, Debbie,
that would be awesome. Wow.
Yes. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, just to equip the owners of beauty supply shops and salons, I mean, that would be wonderful. I mean, just giving back to the community. And it's something that I don't think people pay too much attention to, and maybe because they don't know. But to have someone to come in, have Bobsu to come in, have Mr. Carey to come in and speak to the people and just show them what it is and how hair care is done. It would be so awesome.
Well, will you help us arrange that, Debbie? Will you help us arrange that? We'll start working on that and put that together. Okay.
I will.
Yes. Any last thoughts that you want to share with us today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
I would just say, outside of the political and all the other media outlets and everything that is being said about Israel, I think that what's important is that people will come and see for themselves. And not only that, to visit the communities here. The communities of color, get your experience and take it back to where it needs to be. You know, we are people of color, and there are people of color here from North Africa, East Africa, and West Africa. So, I would just encourage people to just come and see for themselves. Israel, the people here. Have a heart of gold, really.
Well, we are going to just follow you, and we want you to continue to, tune in, and we're going to shout out all the folks who can listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show We broadcast it live at 6 o'clock New York time, so that's here on the East Coast. So you're about 6 hours ahead of us, I believe, hours, something like that. It's like noon here right now. Oh.
Yes, it's 7 here.
It's 7, okay. So for you guys, tuned into the show. You're about 6 hours or so ahead of us. So that's just amazing all by itself this morning. So, you know, also we should shout Sam out from BOPSA. And again, BOPSA, if you want to learn a little bit more about BOPSA, BOPSA stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. You can go to Sam's website at BOPSA.org and find out more about that. Now, Debbie, is there a website or anything that we can send folks to learn more about your supply store? Is there something on Facebook or any kind of social media, anything that we can tell folks? You can go here and learn more about Afro-Israeli Beauty Supply Store.
Well, currently we're working on translations for our website. So it will be up in a couple of weeks.
Well, will you promise to let us know here at the Hair Radio Morning Show? Okay, that will be fantastic.
Definitely.
So if you guys out there, you want to get a hold of Debbie, you can do so right through the Hair Radio Morning Show. So contact us, and we'll certainly put you in touch with Debbie. Again, I just want to thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You are just doing something in a fantastic way, and this is going to be great. So we're very proud of you, and we support the Afro-Israeli Beauty Supply Store. Continue to do what you do.
Thank you for having me.
It's been my pleasure. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come this morning. Stay with us.